Hello and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church. You all didn't know you were going to be on the internet tonight, did you? Well, we are streaming live out onto Facebook and YouTube and Periscope, so the backs of all your heads are on the internet right now. And I just, wave at them, say hi. We want to welcome you this Christmas Eve, and we are so glad that you are here with us this evening. And I pray that this message that comes to you would be a blessing to your heart. And in that, I'd like to pray for this old fool that's going to try to bring it. Father God, I put myself before you. Lord, I gave you my voice and my life many years ago. But Father, no more nights are more important than in the celebration of your Son and what he has done for us, both this night and on Easter Sunday. For Lord God, this marks the beginning of the consummation of all things. So to it, I put my heart and all that I am. I pray for the hearers of this word, that they would not hear me, but that they would hear you, hear your word of life, and in that life, find the light that removes the darkness and illuminates us unto eternity through the salvation of your Son, in whose name I pray. Jesus the Christ. Amen. If you have your scriptures with you tonight, I'm going to turn to the book of Isaiah. I'm going to begin this evening in Isaiah chapter 7. These are the traditional verses that are often read at this time of year, but I'm not going to be staying there because there is so much more for us to understand when it comes to just what this night is really all about. We know these things, for they were prophesied and they have been preached to us for years and years. For Isaiah, in the 7th chapter, in the 14th verse, we read these words: "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." And then again in the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah, from verses 2 through 4, and then 6 through 7, we read these words: "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men will rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." And then again, from the book of Matthew, we read these words. In the book of Matthew, in the 1st chapter, verses 18 through 23, we read these words: "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and he said to Joseph, 'Son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.'" Blessed be the word of our Lord and Savior. Amen. These last 4 weeks, I've been teaching on hope, peace, love, and joy, the four candles of the Advent wreath. And those four candles are what leads us to the Christ candle, the coming of the light of the world. You know, it amazes me because when I think about what happened and how life began on this planet, how life began entirely, what was the first thing that God created? Light. Light. Without light, there is no life. And we live in a dark world, a world that is tainted by sin, a world that is so dark, in fact, that people live in desperation. But yet, the hope of all mankind has come. And to that, Jesus speaks. And when Jesus speaks, what happens when you turn light on in a room? The darkness must flee. It vanishes. And that is why you and I are here, because that light was spoken into our lives. And we heard that voice. And Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." And brothers and sisters, that's why we're here, because we heard that voice. We have followed that voice. That voice that we know, that voice of comfort. Many people ask me, well, you know, Pastor, is it really the right thing for us to be doing, looking at December 25th and celebrating Christmas on a day when you know Jesus wasn't born on that day? Well, I have one thing to say to that. What is on this day, what happens at this time of year in the Jewish community? Does anybody know? Hanukkah is taking place right now. Now, that's a pastor speaking to another pastor, so he cheated. But Hanukkah is taking place right now. So again, I have to look to the words of Jesus. Did Jesus say anything about such a thing? Because this is the Jewish people's holy time too, right? But Pastor Allen, I need to ask you a question. Is Hanukkah one of the feasts of God? I'll take you off the hook. No, it's not. It is not. It's a national holiday, but they call it the Feast of Dedication. You see, if Jesus is such a good Jewish boy and he's our Lord and Savior, should he be worshiping? Should he be practicing such a thing? Let's see what Jesus has to say. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John in the 10th chapter. The book of John in chapter 10. Remember, Jesus Christ is our model. We are to take all things from him and through him, for he is the very word himself. And in the book of John in chapter 10, verse 22, look at what it says here. This is an amazing thing. And I want us to understand, because Jesus is the consummation of all things. And we need to understand, he is speaking to a world. How much of our world is a pagan world? Do you think he doesn't speak into it? Yes, he does. At the very beginning, he spoke into it and created it. He's been speaking throughout it for eons. And now his final word is himself. And what does Jesus say from verse 22? At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter. It was now, because he was there for what we call Hanukkah. It was there for the celebration of the Maccabees and the celebration of the oil miracle in the temple, where the oil lasted 8 days until the reprieve came. And the oil did not run out. The people were remembering the moving of God in their lives. And what did Jesus have to say about it? Well, let's see what happens here. It says, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. Does anybody know what the portico of Solomon is in the temple? It's the teaching area. It's where the teaching took place. He wasn't in the temple because it wasn't time to celebrate, but he was in the temple. He was on the Temple Mount. Why? Because Israel was celebrating something. What were they supposed to be celebrating every time they got together? God, amen? Look at Jesus' words. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give the eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." What did Jesus do on Hanukkah? What should we be doing on Christmas? We should be proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God, very God, in the flesh. Can I get an amen? If Jesus celebrated this national day, this day of pagan celebration, if he went there, did he testify to the Maccabees? Did he testify to the miracle? No, he testified of who he is and what he was there to do. He says right here that those who follow him, that hear his voice, who hold on to it, he gives them what? Eternal life. And no one can take it away. Because my dad's stronger than me, and no one can take him from him. And guess what? My dad and I, we're one. We need to understand Jesus knows what we're going through. And if we're here to celebrate Christ, shouldn't we be talking about Christ? Shouldn't he be the reason for the season? Oh, I think it is. That's why it's called Christ's Mass. So I want us to understand from the get-go, Jesus had a plan in mind when he came. It wasn't an accident. It was not some super cosmic thing that all of a sudden he lost all his power and he fell to earth like Superman. No. We know from the book of Revelation, it tells us from the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ. From before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ crucified. I don't understand that. I'm a mortal man. I don't understand eternal things. But somehow, before anyone was created, before anything was created, God already had Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Can I get an amen? And we need to understand just how important that is, that we have lived through this time where the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ has come. But we also need to remember, just as importantly, he came. Because if he were not fully human, the payment that he is making would not be the consummation of all things. It would be a supernatural imposed thing. But it is what God has said it is to be. And that's where we have to walk. When we think about what this day means, I don't care if we celebrated it on December 18th. Do we celebrate the coming of the Christ, the sacrifice of the Christ? Because that is what our salvation is all about. And are we speaking into this darkness? Are we taking that light into this darkness? Or are we just looking at all the pretty lights that are out there and saying, "Oh, ah," because there's a light that's in you that is real and living, and it needs to shine into a darkness. He has shined his light into you and into me. And in that we have the hope of glory. We have the peace of a relationship. We have the love that sustains us and the joy everlasting that cannot be taken away. You know, those things are eternal promises, but guess what? We get to hold on to them right now. They're ours now, here on this side of the grave. And every one of us ought to have a smile on our face every day, no matter what comes. Because no matter what comes, even if we should die, it is glory. For to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. What greater way? But to be here is as Christ. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? What does that mean? That means to teach others, to show others, to bring others to that place of recognizing the one who has come, the Lord, the Savior, Jesus the Christ. That's why we gather. But I want you to understand the why we gather. That is the consummation of all things. If you have your Bibles, please turn in them to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Because that's where I'm taking you. Ephesians chapter 1. I want us to understand where God is delivering all these things. What is coming up? What is happening right now? What has been happening since the day Christ came? And it is going to be fulfilled in Christ when? Believe it or not, you know, people think that, oh, well, when the church is raptured, it's over. No, it's not over. There's a 7-year period. And then Jesus comes back and he brings judgment on the earth. And then he establishes a 1,000-year reign. And then comes the end. No, then comes another beginning. Because that's when the consummation happens and we enter into the eternal estate with God forever. So there's a whole lot more yet to come. But we're at one of those crossings. We are getting so close to the point where Jesus is going to call the church up. And is your name on his dialing list? I pray that it is. Let's see what he has to say. From 1 Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 14. Blessed be the God of our Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us to be to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. To the end that we who are the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. He who has given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. There's a lot in there, isn't it? I just spoke to you all about our salvation that comes only through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we were predestined to be here. God knew who was going to choose him. God has given us all free will. How important is your free will? Your free will is one of the most important things you will ever have because your free will allows you a choice. I want you to remember that at the very beginning, the people were given a choice. Follow God or not to follow God. They were given one choice, one rule, one law. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do you also know that in that garden was another tree? And it was called the tree of life. They could eat of that all they wanted, but they didn't. Instead, what did they eat of? The serpent tempted them, and they believed the lie. because all of a sudden they thought there was something more. How many of us think there's something more? Isn't that what our life is all about? We want that something more, that something that's going to fill us, that something that's going to bring us joy, and it's going to be joy everlasting, joy that never ends. All right? How many of you got married thinking that was what was going to happen? How many of you were disappointed? Yeah, my hand's still in the air. I know I'm going to get hit when I get home. But it's the truth. We do so much in our lives thinking, well, this is going to be it. Well, no, this is going to be it. Well, this is going to be it. They had everything. They were in communion with God. They had everything. They could live forever. They had everything. But there was one thing they were told that they shouldn't do. Not that they couldn't. There's a difference. Because with free will, there's a choice. We also now need to remember that in the end, in the consummation of all things, there's a choice. You can stay in death, or you can choose life. But there's only one choice. And that choice is Jesus Christ or not. And we need to remember, we chose poorly at the beginning. How are we going to choose here at the end? How are we going to choose when we understand? You and I have already chosen, and I'm going to say to each and every one of you that has chosen Jesus Christ, you chose well. You chose well because you chose the only one. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but will have everlasting life. I don't care what religious background you're from. I don't care what race you consider yourself. I think there's only one race. It's called the human race. Because in Christ Jesus, there is no Gentile, there is no Jew, there is no slave, there is no free, there is no male, there is no female. All are equal in Jesus Christ. But God has a plethora of us. Why? Because the more complex an item is, the more intricate it has to be, the more diversity it has to have. I want you to think about that. How many of you out there know how to tear apart a transistor radio? I can tear it apart. Ask me if I can put it back together. That's a different story. How many parts are in that transistor radio? How many parts are there in many of the things that each and every one of us know? The simpler an item is, the fewer parts it has. I mean, if you go out and you open up my toolbox in my garage, I have wrenches in there. It's one thing. It's a wrench. Now, if you go to another compartment in my toolbox and you get out a ratchet wrench, how many parts are inside that ratchet wrench? There are many. Well, that ratchet wrench works on a vehicle. How many parts are in a vehicle, and how much more does a vehicle do than a ratchet wrench? And it goes on and on and on. How many parts are there in a space shuttle? Do you see my point? The more complex it is, the more diverse it is. God wants the diversity of all of us. Our free will does not end when we enter heaven. We finally freely get to understand what free will really is and achieve the goals for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's his word, isn't it? So Jesus Christ, he's going to be the one, the only one that can bring us that joy that is everlasting, ever new, because he is new. He does not age. He is eternal. He is ageless. Remember, time does not wear on him. How many of us are a little bit worse for wear as we get a little older? And we need to understand the day is going to come when we will be forever young, when we will be given that new body, when we will be given this new mind. How many of you, I think it's a terrible thing. A good mind is a terrible thing to waste and to lose. And I know wonderful people, and I've loved them, and I've seen them get Alzheimer's and dementia because age wears on us. Why? Because of sin, because of a poor choice that changed us. But Jesus Christ is the consummation of that. Dr. Teague, the ex-president at Lancaster Bible College, wrote a paper on the consummation of all things. I wanted to quote some of it here to you today. I need to give him credit because it's not mine, but I pray you'll understand what I'm trying to say here. For we know the scripture that I just read. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he was planning in Christ for the administration of the fullness of times, to consummate all things in heaven and earth in one head, Christ. These verses are concerned with the fulfillment of all that is heavenly, of all that existed before creation, of every spiritual blessing. And we can see that this was fulfilled in Christ, that God's will and good pleasure were planned in Him. Yet there are two phrases that we have to deal with. The first being this, the fullness of times. What is the fullness of time? What does that mean? What does it refer to? Well, Galatians 4:4 says this, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." And again in Hebrews 9:26 it says, "But now He has appeared once for all at the end of the age to do away with sin by the sacrifice of Himself." From these scriptures we can see that the fullness of time came when? At the cross. Folks, the fullness of time is not something that is yet to come. The fullness of time has come. It came at the cross. Because at the cross, sin was dealt with. It is no more if we will choose Christ and walk in Him. His righteousness covers us. How many of you are going to screw up tomorrow? How many of you are saved by grace? Because, brothers and sisters, God knows that. He said, enough! And He made a way. Do you get the song now? It's not A-W-A-Y, it's A-W-A-Y, a way in a manger. God made a way in a manger. And that way is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that manger led to what? The cross of Calvary. It begins here with the light of the world coming into existence. In our believing in that light and allowing that light. Why did God come as a babe? Because again, He needed to consummate all things in heaven and on earth, both spiritual and physical. The only way He could do anything with the physical was to enter into it, to subject Himself to the creation Himself, that we would see our God is not an ogre. Our God loves us so much that He would become as us, fully human, that He would bleed and die, that He would feel the way we feel, that He would know what we know, and even more as He took upon Himself all of our sin. And spiritually, He was completely and totally separated from God the Father. But praise be to God, you can't kill God. Because though He died in the flesh, His spirit was still alive. Because His soul is eternal and He was sinless. He took upon Himself our sins, our iniquities, and He rose up from the grave. So in that we have the consummation of all things. And that's what we need to look at is that second phrase. For the word consummate, consummation, and I pulled up Webster's Dictionary, pre-woke time, and this is what it says, to consummate, to finish, to sum up, to complete in every detail, perfect, extremely skilled and accomplished, of the highest degree, to make perfect, finish, complete, to make marital union complete. So you see, this deals with a perfection of finality, the end, okay? And it also deals with something that we all know. We are called the bride of Christ. So therefore, in His completion, He has brought together the physical and the spiritual. We broke it. He brought it back together through His sacrifice and through His resurrection. And when you and I enter into that reality, we find the consummation of all things. Because God is reconciling us all back unto Him. It is my hope this day that each and every one of us, when we think about where we are and what are you going to talk about tomorrow at your Christmas table, that it's not talking about the gifts that you got or didn't get. It's not gossiping about your aunt that's over there saying strange things. It's not dealing with that black sheep of the family, but it's about looking at the heart of Jesus Christ. And just as He spoke on Hanukkah, so too shall we speak on this Christmas day, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Him. For the light of the world has come into the world, that anyone who would believe in Him, turn their life over to Him, He will give you life abundant. He will give you inexpressible joy. He will pour out a peace upon you, a hope upon you, and a love upon you that shall sustain you not just now, but through all eternity. Merry Christmas means so much more than any of us know, and our world wants us to stop saying it. I think the church needs to shout it from the mountaintops. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
One choice led to death. One choice leads to life. And it begins right here on Christmas Eve, remembering that the Son of God, the light of the world, came into the world. And He came for you. Pray with me. Father God, we thank You. Oh, how we thank You. Words cannot express the gratitude of our hearts. But Lord, we're going to have an eternity to show You our gratitude. But may that eternity begin now for each and every one who is hearing My voice. And Lord, as we celebrate the coming of the light, may we too remember Your light shines in each and every one of us, and may we take that light out from this place and light a dark world, bringing hope, peace, love, and joy. Not as the world brings it, but as You bring it, Lord, eternally and full in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page. Or, if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.